whatever a seventh grader in school is, that age.
Yeah.
And we moved to town for the school years, and then we was right back up there in the summer.
Oh, you did move into town. And then where, Enterprise?
Yeah, to Clarkston.
Clarkston, up the...
Yeah,
across from Lewiston.
Which was 25 miles from where we lived up there, but there was no road up to Rogersburg until the year of, nearly 1940. There was a road, but then you had the Grand Round River to cross. Then a year later, I think it was a year of 38 to put the road up there, and then a year later they built a ferry. We had a ferry, a cable.
You didn't
ferry.
Have a, there was no bridge or ferry across the Grand Round early.
Until there were in the early days, but not during
yeah.
that time. They, in the early days they had ferries, and then they abandoned them. And then 1940, we had a ferry cross small vehicles on.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a bridge at all until after the World War II, when they built one of those old Bailey surplus bridges put in.
Yeah. Well, Gracie, there have been a few books written about life in the canyon. One of the best known, I guess, is Grace Jordan's book, Home Below Hell's Canyon. And they came down there during the Depression from Grangeville. Did you know them at all?
I never knew them, but I knew people who knew them well, Kenneth Johnson.
I was going to ask you about the Depression period. Did a number of people come into that country?
Well, a lot of people, Depression days, came into the Snake River Canyons for not to go in business, especially, but for jobs. When Dobbin and Huffman had 23 bands of sheep from here to the mouth of the Grand Round River. We still have a lot of older natives in town who admit that they stood in line to get a job with him. They go down here in the canyons in the off-season, wintertime,
yeah.
and chop wood for their board just to get a job in the springtime.
Yeah.
So there's very few of our older people left in this county that sometime or another didn't work for Jay Dobbin when he was highly in the sheep business.
I run into people in Texas who used to come up here.
Sure, yeah. My dad worked for Jay Dobbin.
Uh-huh.
Apparently my dad was an outstanding type person because Jay Dobbin made him a foreman when he was 15 years old.
Uh-huh.
Jay was a man that could see ability in people.
Yeah.
My dad said it was quite a tussle to be a boss of men that was two and three times older than you.
When did your dad begin to expand or build up here?
Well, he moved into Joseph Creek country when in about 1915-17, and he was there. He rented land. He homesteaded and then bought adjoining land. And the base ranch didn't amount to a whole lot, but he leased more land than he owned, and he continued to lease more land as long as available. And then we started to, in the 30s, we'd move our market cattle out here to the end of the Zumwalt country, and he rented land out there. But it wasn't until the late 30s, early 40s that he started buying much land.
Yeah.
And he bought quite a lot of land during the good years of the war years, when good prices and land was cheap, and but the cattle market was good. He invested his money in land. And that's why, I guess, why they say that farmers live poor and die rich.
I don't know that they're doing it right now.
Well, that was used to be the old saying, you know, years ago. And they,
sure.
Because they did. They invest every time they made a dollar, they bought another dollar's worth of land someplace and expanded.
Did he have sheep as well as cattle?
He had a little. We had a little farm flock, 78 head was all.
Yeah.
But he was strictly cattle all of his life.
Yeah. So you really grew up cowboying, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And when did the population begin to decline down in this country here? In other words, begin to concentrate up toward the towns?
Well, I think just prior to World War II.
When
things were tough prior to World War II, and people went from the country. Agriculture wasn't good. People went from the country to town to get